Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in our modern world. Joining me, as always, are my good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley F. Brooks. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Simon.
Good morning, Simon.
You know, I know that you expect me to have some asinine lead-in to each and every program. Well, I've got a special deal for you today. I've got two of them. I was cruising the news, news that's unfit to publish, and I came across two absolute doozies. One is from California, Folsom Prison. I'm sure you guys have heard of Folsom.
Oh yeah.
Only if you're going to sing the Folsom City Prison Blues. Are you going to sing that for us?
I'm not. I'm not nearly as good as Johnny Cash. But this week, a gentleman by the name of Marvin Lane Ussery did something truly unique. He was on parole from the prison and was caught trying to break in. They caught him scaling a 7-foot-high barbed wire top fence. I mean, have you ever heard of someone trying to break into a prison?
No.
Only in a very bad movie. One of the ones you say don't ever go see, Simon.
That's right. The other great story that I came across was from Chandler, Arizona. I don't know if either of you have had the opportunity to go to Chandler. It is a strange... Right.
You know it is.
But anyway, police in Chandler are urging residents to practice handgun safety after a man shot himself... not in his foot, in a more delicate spot, while putting a gun in the waistband of his pants.
Yep. Sounds like the Old West, doesn't it?
It was the one moment it would be advantageous to not be very big. Because then you would have missed certain body parts.
Yeah, well,
I didn't just say that. They have to eat lots of GMO, and then they won't be affected when they shoot themselves.
That's right. Chandler police say that Joshua Sato, age 27, shot himself at about 7:30 p.m. Tuesday when he walked to a Fry's food store with his fiancée, Cara Christopher, and attempted to secure her pink handgun in his waistband.
Yeah, here, pink one?
Oh,
yeah,
Simon.
Yeah. That is indeed what the news says.
Her pink gun? Oh, my God. Can you imagine her robbing a bank, pulling out a pink gun, and watching people fall over laughing?
Take her seriously. So, what happened to these people?
Well, the outcome is a bit unclear. The article doesn't say whether or not permanent damage has been incurred.
But he is singing at the Met next week, right?
That's right.
You guys.
Okay, I want to move on to a much more serious subject.
You want us to follow that, right?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Simon,
my mind is still back there, because all I can say now is shoe size no longer matters for him. Okay, now I'm done. Now you can go on.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, that there was a ground beef recall. I can't remember exactly how much was involved. My wife, Jan, listens to the program. She doesn't often participate, but she certainly listens. And a couple of days ago, she said, "You know, Simon, that ground beef recall mentioned Mississippi, which is where we live." And she said, "I did some research and I discovered that one of the supermarkets involved was Winn-Dixie, which is the supermarket we use." And she said, "How do I know that, you know, my ground beef is okay? Should I throw it out?" Well, I did some research and it turned out that we're okay. However, this did bring up a really, really interesting question, and I wanted to bounce it off the pair of you. We often talk on the program about the, you know, high cost of food these days and how the average family often is on a limited budget. And one solution is to buy items in bulk. If something's good value, buy in bulk. Our family's small, as Jan and I, but, you know, we still try and buy in bulk. For example, we'll buy a 4-pound package of ground beef rather than 4 1-pound packages, because it makes more economic sense. But, you know, bringing a 4-pound slab of ground beef home and throwing it in the freezer makes no sense whatsoever, because now we've got a 4-pound frozen slab of ground beef. And I don't have a bandsaw, so, you know, can't really portion it up. So what we do is we would take that 4 pounds and cut it into, you know, 4 individual 1-pound servings, put them in a Ziploc bag, put a date on it, and throw it in the freezer. And the reason we put a date on is so we can use the oldest first. It seems to make, you know, good sense to us. But Jan was concerned that, okay, now we have no clue as to whether the ground beef in our freezer is part of the recall. We can't easily, or at least she didn't think we could easily take it back to the store, because we don't have the original packaging. We don't have that barcode and other information that gives us the lot number. So, effectively, we're screwed.
And they would like you to be screwed. And I say that because the first thing they say in the recalls is, if your package is open, throw it out. In other words, you're going to be responsible for their mess. And so there's a couple things I do, Simon. I keep every receipt that I have. And I keep them on a monthly basis, and I have every receipt, so that if something like that happened, I would have pulled out something that said beef, and I'd take it back to that store, even if it wasn't, I didn't have the recall number. The second thing I do is I keep on the outside of the package, when I'm divvying it up, I keep the actual original seal, you know, the thing that says the pounds and how much the meat is and whatever. And I use that on the last package so that I have everything dated, and the last date from that package has got that receipt right within that package, so that I know where and how old it is and exactly, you know, the barcode and everything else is on that particular package. But if you don't have that and you've thrown them out, I would gather them up, and I would take them back to the store because that store does not want to be responsible for tainted meat. It doesn't want to be, you know, you fell over and this is where you bought it and they refused to take it back. Because I think, Manny, isn't that a lawsuit for them?
Well, it could be, but the point is that they are also being reimbursed by the food manufacturer, Cargill or whoever it is. So usually they just go, oh, we'll take it right back because they know they're going to get credit for it, and they make Cargill pay for it. And if Cargill balks at it, they go, hey, you know, it's your mess, not ours. You know, we're stuck cleaning up after you. So Cargill and whoever it is that is responsible for this particular, you know, callback has to take it in the shorts because guess what? They're the ones who screwed up. So your store may not be at the great risk you think it is. Most people are just shy about it, and they feel, well, gosh, and I bought it so long ago. But if you're in doubt, just return it.
Absolutely, it's not worth eating. It's just losing. Why should you be the loser for their poor method of handling their product?
Well, more importantly, let's talk about the bigger one. Why should Americans bear the responsibility for a recall of meat that has basically been withheld from the general public for a number of months by the FDA because they don't want to put the manufacturer at risk?
While you were buying the product.
Okay, so this particular Cargill, we're going to switch over to again to the turkey one, really bothers me because they first discovered it back in March, and they played around with it and didn't rush and not letting anybody really know about it until August. So guess what? They achieved their goal. Most people ate it up. So their only concern were those people who are in the freezer. And what did they tell everybody? Throw it out. Well, if you do that, guess what? The Cargill gets its cake and eat it too. They will have put bad food into the marketplace and then profited financially because Americans trusted them and didn't keep accurate records of the date and whatever to buy because guess what? The average American stupidly trust Cargill and all these other people to protect them when they don't protect them. They're only interested in profit. So sometimes you need to get up in life and go, it's not my problem. I didn't start this. They did. So therefore, if anyone's going to bear the burden of this cost, it's them. And that may sound a little lawyer-like, and because it is, because the people who put in things into society, cars, you name it, anything, have to be responsible for what they put in society. We cannot allow manufacturers to skate by and make money at the expense of Americans because guess what? That just encourages them to keep up their bad conduct and it encourages them to make money at our expense. And if no one stands up and screams, guess what? They get away with it. And I wonder every week when we discuss recalls, if every American who had any touch of beef from Cargill walked in and said, I want my money back, what would Cargill
do? Or turkey.
Or replace it with turkey, and then Cargill would really take a financial loss. And guess what? They would think about it a lot harder because guess what? They don't want this loss. And as long as they can fool Americans into throwing it in the trash and them not being responsible for the cost of it, they're going to do that. Right, Simon?
Oh yeah, and I think that's the, you know, the point of all of this. If it's been opened, throw it out.
Right, that's their instruction. They would like you to do that.
Right, but you know, I've said on numerous occasions that there are many families on very, very tight budgets, and you know if suddenly your $100 purchase, you've lost 15 of it because they're telling you to throw it out, you've lost meals for your family, meals that you cannot afford to replace.
Well, let me tell you a story. Recently, we lost an outside refrigerator. We store food out there, particularly for the cats, et cetera. And when it went out, we lost several months' supply of fish, basically shrimp that we feed our cats with. Because
wild, hard-to-find shrimp.
Well, let me finish the story. So this stuff is not only hard to find. I said to Ashley, you know, with all this crisis going on in the the Gulf, we better buy this fish for the cats because our concern is we don't feed our cats organic food. Guess what? They're going to die because we've seen this before with animals, and we listen to it from our friends who spend all this money. Well, a friend of ours just had a $1,400 bill for a dog that had stomach problems, and I said to him, you know, if you change the food, you won't have a problem. Well, the refrigerator went out, and we lost 2 giant bags of shrimp that cost probably $60, $70. Not only is it like lighting a $60, $70 on fire with this, the old, you know, light up your joint with a $100 bill or cocaine and all the weird things that went on in those movies. Well, when it happens to you, it makes you upset. And we were so upset about losing this cat food because it was so important to us because it was irreplaceable. And people who buy, like, organic turkey, sometimes they're only available a couple times a year. So
I almost lost those.
Yeah. So what happens is there's sometimes, and for you, there's meal planning, right? You plan
right.
meals about what's around in your freezer, so one day you wake up and guess what? Nothing you plan works anymore because guess what? None of that food you were counting on to cook works anymore. So I really think this is an issue that's far, you know, the sum is greater than the parts in this case. Yeah, because I think that's a major problem in the United States right now, is reimbursing people when corporate America leaves them high and dry. You have any feelings about it, Simon? Do you think they're responsible, too?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I'm not advocating that, you know, we take the Chinese approach of shooting people.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right.
Capital punishment for it.
Right. But it does bother me. It seems to me that these large corporations like Cargill, although they're, you know, hardly the only offender, can do this kind of thing with impunity. You know, sure, throw it out. Just means that now you've got nothing in the freezer, so yeah, you'll have to go back to the supermarket and buy some more Cargill products.
Yeah.
And Simon, it's not the only thing I do this with. If I take a piece of fruit home, and that very next day that is a completely rotten piece of fruit, even if it's organic, and we grow organic. I know how long it lasts in the refrigerator, a long time, which meant I was sold a piece of rotten fruit. I will get in my car, because the market's close, and I will take it back that day to the market. Now, I have started doing this because it's out of pocket for us. You know, we do these nonprofit shows. We don't have a lot of money that we're just going to be throwing it around. Who in the world does right now except the corporations? And I also do this with, like, I brought cheese home. I was trying to afford organic cheeses for Manny. I would bite into some of these, and literally we would take a taste, and I would take it back because it was so offensively horrible. It was horrible. Had no taste. Manny was embarrassed at first, but I said, you know, hon, if I don't do this, how are they ever going to know this is really bad?
Right.
How is that mom ever going to know this is a really god-awful product they should not be selling to people at $7? You know what I'm
right.
saying?
And I think that's really the point here. You know, that you've got the middleman, the market, and their mission in life is to buy wholesale, sell retail, and take the piece out the middle. They probably did not know that the product was goddamn awful.
I didn't use it, it's god awful.
Okay, right. But I mean, you know, the point is they just look at a product and they go, it's not selling very well.
Right.
And eventually they reach the stage where they say, our shelf space is better used with something else. But what they don't understand is the reason it's not selling very well is people only buy it once. They
right.
buy it once, they try it, and they go, oh, I'm not doing that again.
Right, but it's a waste of your money, and then the company making it doesn't know their product doesn't work. Well, so to me, it's a message. That's how I feel, Manny.
Yeah, only I don't agree with it. Don't know it work. I felt this way about DaCosta and the eggs and all the rest of them. They know. They pay people to know the answer to these questions. It's really that simple. So do I believe that Cargill didn't know they were shipping bad food? No, I don't believe that for a New York Met.
In fact, let's talk about Cargill plant reopening its outbreak number, well, the numbers have climbed. Let's talk about that right now. Because let's talk about how they don't know.
Okay. So here's the case. Cargill actually resumed operations this week, and the same plant in Arkansas that produces 36 million pounds of contaminated salmonella-contaminated turkey burger. Okay, they claim was reopened after extensive cleaning and an enhanced food safety plan. Okay, after all this, the state of Oregon public health officials didn't trust them, so they went and got some of their turkey burger to test, and guess what? 10 to 15% of the meat tested was contaminated with salmonella despite all their representation.
One of the same genetic antibiotic resistant strains was identified.
Uh-huh.
The Salmonella Heidelberg.
Wow. So gee whiz. I guess the bottom line is that they didn't do such a great job of cleaning up, and the FDA didn't do such a great job of testing them, did they?
$120 billion in sales last year.
Right. So when we talk about this, we're talking about something that's going on every single day in our country. And, you know, to give you some a feeling, actually, why don't you get into, we had some recall. We had two in Ohio that were ill with E. coli, and we had some more ground beef come back. And I think that's one you were talking about, the Cincinnati company that recalled.
No, this was another one. Okay.
Oh, there's a Cincinnati company that recalled 72,000
right.
pounds of ground beef. That's part of the beef that went into Mississippi. And, again, it's JB Meats, which is JBS, which is, I believe it's an Argentine company. It's the world's largest meat company that owns Hormel and countless other famous brands in the U.S. So guess what? They found ground beef and beef patties in Ohio that had E. coli infections in them. So anytime you think this is just a spotty question or this recall may only happen to you once every 10 years, there are recalls every week, sometimes every day. And these beef products were sold at 10 or 12 Cincinnati area restaurants. Oh, boy, let's go get a burger in this restaurant and get E. coli.
But it's their fault because they were served medium rare ground beef. Wow. That's their fault then, wasn't it, Manny?
Oh, must be. And someone here, one of the officials said, everybody knows you have to cook your hamburger well. I don't know that everybody knows that. Do you?
No. I'm a raw kind of person. Well, not raw, but, you know, I like my meat medium rare.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, you know, now I'm being told, you've got to cook everything until, you know, you can't cook it anymore. Sounds like my mother's cooking.
And doesn't it sound like a carcinogenic? Whatever happened to all these tests that if you cook your meat too long, which destroys the nutrition, destroys the vitamins, destroys the enzymes, destroys no point in eating this, you know, what are you eating? You're eating something that's going to be carcinogenic. So we have United States of America being told, and nurses were telling me this recently, you know, you got to peel off your vegetables and your fruit. Got to peel everything, all the skins off of all of your fruit because then it's safe. And you got to cook the hell out of your meat. So, okay, where are people going to get the nutritional value? It's already been reduced because of the GMO and the bacteria and viruses in it. It's already been reduced because of this waxes and stuff they're putting on it to make it look pretty. It's already been reduced by the pesticides. So now you're going to peel the skin off. And then you're going to cook the hell out of everything else.
You know, I had this vision of 100 years ago, a Texas rancher looking at his longhorn cattle, and before barbecue, you know, at his place, they got that big old steer on the spit the way they do so wonderfully in Texas, or they bury it in the ground, which is my favorite, yelling to all his guests, remember now, you can't eat any rare beef. You got to have this thing well done. Could you imagine any American even thinking about this even 25, 30 years ago?
No.
And, gee, why are we thinking about it now? Because of genetically modified foods and feeding these foods basically to animals and then trying to feed them to human beings. And, I mean, it's just really, really terrible. And, in fact, I want to get into a quick one, too, because about a week ago, we had a 15-ton spill of what do you call it, canola oil on a highway, an Albany highway near Williams, Washington, which is by the Canadian border. They had a train carrying 22 tons of canola oil, and apparently something sparked a fire, a seizure in one of the brakes, melted a hole in the bottom of the lead trailer, causing the canola oil to spill on the road into the gutter. It was the worst nightmare come true because it only started growing a year before, and Williams is an area that has a large number of organic farmers, and according to this story, 12 genetically modified free grain growers were negotiating contracts with the Japanese market who have the right to know what goes on with all of this because, as you know, Japan won't buy any of this. So these guys are going to probably lose whatever export deal they had with Japan because of this spilled GMO, which is another case of the genetically modified grains ruining foreign trade because nobody will accept them.
Now, Monsanto didn't take responsibility for this, correct?
Of
Monsanto
course not.
Didn't come in, the people who did this GMO. They just sort of left it on the road for the people to take care of, correct?
Yeah. Right.
Well,
but
I mean, Monsanto didn't build the failing brakes.
There you go.
Yes. But they put this known dangerous chemical into commerce. Of course, according to them, it's not a dangerous chemical, right?
Except canola oil is the genetically modified canola oil, as we discussed, is classified as a biopesticide by the Environmental Protection Agency, which we went over before, and so it's environmentally, who knows what it's going to do up there? Plus spread. Some of the seeds, I guess. Do you think seeds will be involved with this?
Well, no. It's just that whatever it touches. I mean, I'm not sure that canola oil in that form won't burn a hole in something like battery acid. I mean, I've never seen its form, and I'm sure anybody in the industry is listening, and I know they do listen to our show so they can find reason to criticize us, or going, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, maybe you're right. But since you won't publish any information, and the industry...
Correct information.
And the industry is basically dishonest, all of America's left to guess, aren't they?
And what happens if this canola oil, if they had a rain up there, and this canola oil got into, it's already seeped into the ground, and what happens if it gets from the ground then and water and into the water supply? I mean, oil and water don't mix, so it's just going to be a floater.
Right.
A floater in the fields, too, right? Irrigation, it's just going to float.
Right. It will eventually sort of break down into smaller and smaller, gobbles, if you will. It'll get in the rain. I think the term is acid rain, as I recall.
That's where my brain went to.
Well, you know, and let's talk about how these things translate into money. You know, there's an article actually that said it's about Taiwan refusing U.S. beef for drug residues, okay? So Taiwan's Department of Health announced last week it had once again detected residue of lean-promoting drug ractopamine, or payment mine, however you pronounce it, beef products imported from the U.S. It's become a sticking point in the U.S. Taiwan trade negotiations, the same way of the beef recall caused problems in the Korean, Taiwan, and Japanese trade negotiations. So every time we have a GMO spill, a GMO problem, or one of these horrible ingredients we write about in our books come up, we lose foreign trade and our balance of payments goes down, the stock market's affected. It's just across the board. And people wonder why China and these countries are upset with us. It's more than politics. It's about the crap we export. We're a junk dealer now. We don't make anything of quality in the United States. I'm not sure even our cars compare to foreign cars. So apparently they had found 1.9% of U.S. beef contained levels of this stuff in U.S. contained beef. That's a lot. Could you imagine 1.9% salt or 1.9% MSG? I mean, or any chemical. I wouldn't want 1.9% of anything in my food. And I feel the same way. We're talking about more than 100,000 pounds of beef products were banned from entering Taiwan in recent months. 100,000 pounds. That means they're in the boat, they're probably going to spoil, or they certainly couldn't go back 3 months to the United States because they'd have to sell those steaks for $100 a pound after shipping them to the Orient. So how does this help America? What did they do with those? Give them, like they do in the United States, give them the school cafeteria somewhere to feed the children?
They'll do what they did with tainted seafood out of the Gulf. Stuff that wasn't fit for consumption, yes, part of it went to the school system, part of it went to the prison system, and get this, part of it went to the armed forces.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Maybe PTSD isn't really caused by that. It's really caused by what they feed them. I mean, and the truth is a lot of military men have terrible health problems, and so do their family, and a lot of it has to do with this poor quality food because, after all, they experiment with them on drugs. You know, there's a number of vaccines they've been experimenting on in Afghanistan and Iraq with American soldiers.
Gave them blood products.
So we're going to switch something here that I can't resist. You know, Simon, you've heard me rail about Hungry Man and Healthy Choice. For years, Ashley loved Healthy Choice, and I would look at it and I go, honey, what are you eating that cardboard meal?
Oh, it's great. It would be diet food. It was buy 10 boxes for a buck. You know, wow, that was really, you know, my kind of budget.
Yeah, it's funny. The last time a refrigerator failed outdoors, we lost about 20 packages of Healthy Choice, and I celebrated. Ashley was obviously very upset. So Ashley picks up this little article and says, new research shows Healthy Choice lives up to its name. And what this is a perfect example of our ongoing discussion about dishonest advertising and dishonest bought and paid for results from these various labs with famous names and reputations that are nothing more than the village whores. And here's an example. At the 2009 Experimental Biology Conference, ConAgra announced the new research showed that Healthy Choice really did get people healthier. So I actually pulled up this one for me, Healthy Choice Cooked Penne Pasta from ConAgra, the maker of Hungry Man, which, as you know, has over 150 ingredients. So I pulled it up, and I'm not going to read the list.
I actually want to read the list.
No, Ashley, it bores people.
Okay.
But I will say there are 43 ingredients in a simple cooked penne pasta, which I can do with three ingredients plus pasta at home. And at least 20 of them out of the 43, like maltodextrin, for example, soy lecithin, they're all vehicles for MSG.
Coloring.
Yeah, and by the way, it doesn't even include all the colorings. And some of these things is you look at them, and garlic and pepper seeds and chicken tenderloin chunks. Well, those are chunks from factory-farmed, you know, contaminated chickens and reprocessed chickens. For all we know, if they offer a Healthy Choice as a healthy turkey burger, Healthy Choice, it's probably repurposed from the
Kirkhole recall.
Cargill recall. They have xanthan gum, which is just terrible and carcinogenic. Caramel color. The whole purpose of caramel color is to put MSG into food. And my favorite, isolated soy protein product, which is a extract with MSG and soy protein from genetically modified soy. It has three different types of modified starch, which is high fructose corn syrup. I could go on. And canola oil. Oh, good. That way, if you've been bitten by a rat, it dies from the canola oil in your food. You know? But more importantly, what we really wanted to talk, and by the way, this survey talked about how all these people lost 18 pounds in 24 weeks. Their cholesterol dropped by 12 points.
Yeah, so they're so healthy now.
And this was written, done by a leading cardiologist, Dr. James Rippey, who's a founder and director of Rippey Lifestyle Institute.
The leading
I thought you were going to say Rippey's Believe It or Not.
Well, that's about where we're going with this. But listen, before I jump into him for a minute, this is really it. Okay, so along with eating healthy choice, because, of course, this didn't count in the survey, they emphasized and got them to eat healthy eating things as fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and lean meat. Okay, gee whiz, besides your healthy choice, you're basically changing your whole diet. And they had to start with 15 minutes per day of week, progressing to 45 minutes 4 days a week of exercise and physical activity. I mean, really? I mean, how much did healthy choice have to do with their loss of weight when they changed their entire diet and started exercising? You know, and it says, you know, basically they compared it to the control group. So I looked at it and said, what's the control group eating? KFC, McNuggets, and McDonald's? You know, they have a double, triple bacon burger while the other guy is having fresh fruits and jogging 45 minutes a day. Gee whiz, lose weight, gain weight. Do we understand that or what?
I'm confused.
You know?
And of course, the control group are always going through the drive-through, so you know they won't actually have to get out of the car and walk those 20 paces to the counter.
So the control group are done with yellow pylons in the parking lot at the drive-thru. And here's my great quote from ConAgra. These findings reinforce our commitment to providing delicious, healthful, and convenient meals to make it easier for people to not only control their portions, but also get positive nutrition they're seeking from ingredients like lean meat, vegetables, whole grains, and fiber. Well, most of that came outside of the healthy choice.
Wait a minute, though, but this is a nutritional manager at ConAgra.
Yeah, she's got a PhD.
Kristen Reimers, PhD.
Yeah.
Wow, this sounds really... Now, if you call me up and said this is this woman with her PhD nutrition manager from ConAgra, I'd be impressed, immediately impressed, until I started to look at the data.
Well, I'd like to know how much Kristen Reimers is paid by ConAgra to disseminate cow manure, because cow manure you can buy very cheap at the farm. You don't need to hire a PhD named Kristen Reimers to shovel cow manure at the general public. And, I mean, it just goes on forever, but I really have to get into this part. Let's talk about the people conducting the test. We talk about DreamWrite and all these people who write everything for the companies. We talk about how the footnotes and everything are changed, because when you read the abstract of that, it sounds like healthy choice is the greatest thing since crunchy peanut butter. And then when you read the real parameters in the study, you find out all these people are exercising and eating right. Probably the worst thing in their diet was healthy choice.
But let's start, before you start this, I want to repeat the title of this article. Going out, because this hits this, goes out Google, millions of people, goes out on Fox News, all the news reports. New research shows healthy choice lives up to its name.
So I did a little research of the nonprofit organizations who receive corporate funding. Let's talk about the corporate funding for this Rippey Lifestyle Institute that is just so wonderful and famous and contributes so much.
Oh, well, wait, though, Manny. It starts off by saying, again, founded by James M. Rippey, M.D. It's a medical doctor. Rippey Lifestyle Institute, very impressive. One of the leading research, communication, and health promotion organizations in the world.
So this is where his money comes from. Kellogg Company. Oh, right. How about General Mills? And, of course, good food from Astra Pharmaceuticals. I'm going to skip down about 10 of the famous Fortune, 500 companies, and let's go down to how about Ketchum Public Relations? I mean, there's an industry whore if you've ever seen one. Key Pharmaceuticals. How about Nabisco? The National Cattlemen's Beef Association. That's a group of factory farmers. So basically, they're using factory farm beef and genetically modified foods. Novartis, Pfizer. Now, what does Novartis and Pfizer have to do with a healthy lifestyle living?
Healthy choice.
Oh yeah, right. They're part of healthy choice. They just put the drugs on it the way they put it in feed for cattle, for all we know. Pharmanex, a division in Nu Skin. Oh, great. Roach Laboratories, Shearing Plow Corporation. What are you doing, putting aspirin and cough syrup into our food? Whitehall Labs. I mean, it just goes endlessly. So here we have an organization dedicated to health, supported by the biggest offenders. That's like the mob, you know, paying for rehabilitation, you know, or the Columbia cartels donating money to a clinic on cocaine awareness. Oh, please.
Well, it's right up there with Mars, as in Mars bars, being part of the group that determines RDA values.
Exactly. Oh, the ridiculous DAs.
Yeah, and by the way, Healthy Choice brags that it supplies everything on the food pyramid. Oh, my God. You know, the fact that they brag about the food pyramid's enough to make me throw up. Everything in the food pyramid's founded by all their buddies in big food. So anyway,
I thought the pyramid was out. I thought these days it was the plate,
the pretty little plate.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about why we get so upset with it. You know, I think it's clear to any of our listeners that we think that genetically modified organisms are one of the greatest dangers of the human race right now. We're joined in that by more than 500 scientists who've written letters to the UN and all over.
I think it's up to 800 now, isn't it?
You're right. It is up to 800 scientists who've joined in our same objections. There are over 16 surveys already and studies by noted independent doctors that it harms the humans. And then there's Dr. Huber, who I believe is on the air this morning on another channel, discussing how genetically modified foods leave residues in your gut that are going to kill people.
In some cases, it takes up to 3 years. And at 3 years, for some reason, that's when it really affects the kidneys and the liver. And it's a slow eating, you know, dying. You're killing yourself.
And if you doubt this, just look at the facts about kidney and liver disease and take a look at the amount of dialysis. In fact, most Americans don't know until you become a senior citizen, and I didn't know either until I sadly qualified as one, that Medicare doesn't even pay for dialysis because there's so much going on in the country that if they did, it would bankrupt Medicare. So is this a problem? Yeah. So let's take a look at why these numbers have some effect on what we're going to say. There are 11 million acres of farmland infested by superweeds, up from 2.4 million in 2007, okay? Now, this number coincides with the increase in planting of the genetically modified products. According to the trade journal Weed Science, at least 21 weed species, and let me repeat that, 21 weed species have become resistant to the popular herbicide glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. That's Monsanto's Roundup. So all of this corn, soy, et cetera, that's designed to be weed-resistant is no longer weed-resistant. So they're having to use a growing number of cocktails and other herbicides to kill these superweeds because Roundup doesn't. So according to William Vensel, who's the editor, they're saying that herbicide resistance issue is becoming serious. It is spreading out beyond where weed scientists have seen it before. Some of these weeds grow 3 inches a day and can damage farm equipment. Can you imagine running one of those 30-foot-wide, 20-ton farm machines over weeds and it damaging the blades?
Wow.
You know, so they're warning that if the rate of infection continues, the food prices will rise as farmlands become swamped with the weeds. Well, that's another reason to just stop genetically modified foods. Not only is it endangering our country, and even 60 Minutes ran a series on southern Missouri and Arkansas where they showed weeds 30 feet tall. I thought we were watching Day of the Triffids, and I remember sometime in late last year, November-ish, we did a show on these. Right, Simon?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know. So anyway.
We've now got weeds that go Roundup. Yum.
You know, and then there's this comment about it saying farmers are having to resort to stronger chemicals to kill them. Well, I had visions of a farmer calling the government, send a nuclear bomb, send the planes, you know, kind of like a Dr. Strangelove scenario to kill these plants before they attack the known world. But, I mean, we make jokes of it, but the scientists are not making jokes of it. They are having a serious problem. And what's serious to me is They're going to go back to some of the harshest chemical killers in the world to get rid of this.
Well, they're already having to do that.
And that includes things like DDT and dioxin. And by the way, who makes DDT and dioxin? Monsanto.
Hey, maybe they could throw in some Agent Orange as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Maybe we could just get rid of that whole state of Iowa that's having all those funny little conventions. Straw polls. I saw did you see the vote in the straw poll in Iowa? 4,600 people made Michelle Bachmann, you know, their leader for the Republican, you know, nomination. Where I live in Los Angeles, that's about the number of people in line at McDonald's to get an Egg McMuffin on the day to work. So, you know, let's put that whole bullshit in Iowa in some perspective. I love the state of Iowa, and I'm sure the Democrats in Iowa who don't have the nerve to run this kind of stupid, you know, convention, and it's not really a convention, it's a state fair where the candidates have to pay for all their friends to come in. So the entire audience of the state fair are paid for by the people who are coming in, who get to vote for their favorite people who have paid them to be there, to create some type of straw poll that's covered in the news that's about as relevant as my next-door neighbors voting on whether or not we should have green grass or blue grass. And that's
actually, I saw a CNN clip, you know, talking head doing his thing. But he was, you know, inside the fairground, and as a backdrop was a little tent selling deep fried Twinkies.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, Simon, and we didn't get any of those. I mean, you know, what day without deep fried Twinkies? I mean, what can a guy do?
I hope that was done in good old-fashioned canola oil. I mean, you might have to get all the poison at once when you're getting it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it was.
You know, I think they remember the famous quote, "Beam me up, Scotty." It's becoming, "Shoot me up, Scotty." You know? Just amazing.
Yeah. So one of the things that was controversial to me in that article that you were going through, Manny, is that back in April when they actually were doing, they were looking at the weeds themselves and the farmers, and this report says there's 31 super weeds. There actually, at that time, they were reporting 130 types of weeds that develop levels of herbicide resistance in more than 40 U.S. states. They found all this resistance. Experts estimated at that time, as I recall, that the glypho-resistant weeds had infested, as you said, 11 million acres, but at that report was 130 weeds, which they're only saying 31 on this newest report. So I guess part of the, we'll just dumb you down, we'll just remove a couple ones here and there. 130, 131, big difference there. The annual report was that $5 billion was annually spent on herbicides in the United States alone. That's
wow.
A lot. 531 million pounds was sold in the United States back in 2007. So who knows how many million pounds have been sold since the numbers have increased so dramatically. And in 2007, they showed 185 million pounds of glyphosate was used by the U.S. farmers, which was double the amount used 6 years earlier. That's a huge amount. With Monsanto in 2010 getting $2 billion from Roundup in the United States. So, I mean, these people are just horrible. And the worst part is the fact that they are showing more and more how the glyphosate does cause, you know, and I guess we're not allowed to say it because Monsanto hasn't said it yet, the glyphosate does cause cancer, so I guess I have to watch that, we suspect. Okay, in humans, people may eat something and find that after they've eaten it, they get a bellyache. Well, symptoms of the glyphosate and some of the pesticide poisoning, and it's actual poison when you get that gastrointestinal pain, You have gastrointestinal pain, vomiting, excess fluid in the lungs, pneumonia, clouding of consciousness, destruction of red blood cells. That's what this causes. Similar symptoms from more Roundup toxicity shows that it can cause lung congestion or dysfunction, erosion of the gastrointestinal tract, abnormal EKGs, massive gastrointestinal fluid loss, low blood pressure, kidney damage, and these are largely caused by Roundup. So now we have farmers saying we're using six times the amount of what we were using. We have super weeds that we're now using who knows how many other herbicides to try to beat it. This is now going into your food. And the food that you pick up, which is why we were saying that they're now saying, well, the solution is just peel off all the skins. No can do, will not happen. It's because what happens is if you peel off the skin, first of all, you're getting rid of your vitamin D. It comes from the sun that's going into your fruit and vegetables. Now, you get rid of the vitamin D, you're losing a booster of your immune system. Japanese tests over the last couple months again showed we need a lot of vitamin D to help boost our system, which works with other, you know, other elements of calcium, magnesium in the body. So it's going to affect your bones. It's going to affect your immune system. So you're going to lose that just by doing your glyphosate. But, hey, it's more important to give Monsanto $2 billion in sales for 1 year. And a while back, we did a thing on the 54 pesticide residues found by the USDA pesticide data in humans and their effect. 8 were known to cause cancer. 24 were suspected of hormone disruptors. 11 are neurotoxins. 12 are developmental or reproductive toxicants.
Wait a minute, how many?
12.
Wow. No, and, you know, I guess most people know that recent tests show that sperm counts are down in men, which is part of the infertility problem and why there's so many fertility clinics floating around the country. So wonderful. I wonder if that has something to do with it. Cool.
Especially with I keep going back to that mouse test, the mice-rats test, because you're not allowed to test these on humans, although we have been the rats that they've tested it on since the 90s. And on the third generation, each generation of rats that were given the GMO, as we've discussed, has infertility and fertility problems. And so by the third generation, there's infertility. So if you are feeding your child this GMO, realize that three generations from now, your great-great-great-grandchild will not be able to continue to produce your family line. The fact that that's a possibility should just, it's horrifying to me. What about you, Simon?
Oh, I'm just shocked at every statistic that I read. However, there are, you know, this sort of 95% of statistics that are bought and paid for by the large companies that are going, you guys are just emotional.
Right. We're the ones with the problem because we're trying to make people healthy. It's really, really, really sad. These people should, I mean, they really, and I think in a way, maybe China is right. China says if you kill somebody, and you're responsible for the death of somebody or harming another human being, this is actually capital punishment in China, which means that these corporations and the heads of these corporations and the governments along with them, the people that are running all this administration, they know if they take money for allowing this product to happen and somebody gets hurt, they will get the death penalty. And it's quick. Easy peasy, done in 30 days.
No, there's something badly wrong here. I don't like the superweed scenario at all. Right now, it's just an irritation, shall we say. Oh, we got a few weeds that seem to be resistant and seem to be growing big. But the superweed problem is not going to go away. And using stronger and stronger pesticides is not going to make the problem go away.
No, and Simon, what they're doing is they're now doing the stacking, which is what the stacking we were talking about. So they're covering their lie by now going in and changing their genetic, what they are doing to the seeds within the lab, and they are now stacking it differently. So not only do you have the horror of what they are doing right now out there, causing problems in the environment, environmentally killing birds, killing, you know, everything, the land, everything. And now they're killing people with it, and now they're going to change the formula to add more, so they can now allow more of the herbicides to go into this plant.
Well, actually, we need to explain stacking. One of the latest concepts that they're putting out right now was just approved in Canada. It's called Smart Stack, and what they do is they stack several gene modifications on top of each other. You know, one kills a water buffalo, another one kills aphids, another, you know, I mean, it's almost absurd. And of course, the last one's designed in case Martians do attack the world, then they do have a pesticide that kills Martians too. And that's sort of the mentality that they use is, gosh, you know, if one works, 20's better. And somehow corporate America always seems to justify what it's doing with that failed concept. And what we're here back to is a simple, simple issue. Does gene modification benefit the human race? There are benefits of gene modification. But gene modification, like so many other things in this world, must be approached with the utmost in caution. We know the major corporations can't spell the word caution. So they just unload scientists on the world, all these wannabe Dr. Frankensteins who are just dying to come up with a way to prepare and do whatever their product is, and, of course, get patented, get wealthy on the patent, because modern scientists are not altruistic at all. Those days left with Einstein and the rest of them. I mean, Einstein made no effort to patent anything he did. Yeah, although he started out as the head of patents in Switzerland when he was a young man, yet he left all of this for the human race to enjoy and to share together to advance the interests of the human race. But no, not true with corporate finance. They only want to enrich themselves. So the issue, as I say to so many people, is who do you trust in life, a big corporation? Do you want to trust them with your well-being? What's been the history of that? You name it, cars. I mean, look at Ford. Their attitude was, it's cheaper to let people die from this car than it is to fix it. I mean, I really want to trust a corporation whose mentality is, let them eat cake. And that, by the way, should be the national spokes thing for the America for American industry. Let them eat cake.
Right. Well, one of the things that has been stewing around in my mind for the last 30 minutes or so is some numbers that you quoted about the amount of pesticides being used. Now, over the past, we're coming up on the one-year mark, you know, we've been on the radio talking about this problem, we've actually had a number of organic farmers on. And sure, you know, the operations that they're running are, maybe 40 acres, maybe 200 acres. You know, that it's certainly not the huge mega farms that, the conglomerates are running. But they don't have a weed problem. They don't have a pesticide problem. So isn't it possible to scale up the organic farm and get results that don't have these damaging side effects?
Well, first, Simon, I have to add this. You forgot one thing. Manure lagoons, because organic farms don't have manure lagoons. We've listened to people like Dr. Tickey talk about how all of it's just absorbed back into the environment in an environmental in an organic farm.
No, but because they don't have lagoons, they use natural organic.
Well, actually, it's dispersed among the field. But in answer to your question more directly, the truth is these farms were amped up and running for centuries. These are the largest farms in the world. It supplied basically food to everywhere in Europe, Russia when it was starving. So it has been done in the past. What's happened is those farms have been abandoned in favor of these newer, larger farms. So all we want to do is go back to what was tried and true in our history, and that's what was tried and true. So anyway, with that thought in mind, it's not a real problem to do that. And the problem that I see with the farms is that if you return to this kind of farms, you're returning the control of growing to the average American farmer. And much like medicine, where corporate businesses have taken over medicine, they don't want to give back anything to anybody. So now that they have their little greedy paws on this, I don't see American businesses letting up. And I'm going to switch topics because we're far from through with that topic. There's something that's a little more politically relevant right now that relates to it. The other place that Monsanto and others are fighting, as we all know, are labels. There's a movement on to have genetically modified foods labeled the way they are in Europe. In fact, in many European countries, genetically modified foods have to be put on a special aisle marked genetically modified foods. And if they did that, there'd be in the sign under A&P and Ralph's and all the big market chains saying, everything in this store is genetically modified, because, as Ashley points out, it's easier to put things on a label that says, you know, basically this product has no GMO than it is to say GMO. But the average person would, and Ashley said this the other day, someone said to her, oh, I'm okay because I shop at Trader Joe's. So in October, there's a Right to Know March in California, and the group that's sponsoring it, and I've forgotten their name, is right now circulating an initiative that requires 500,000 signatures in California to put mandatory genetically modified labels on foods. And we're going to follow this story as it goes and provide areas where people in California can sign this, because it's important to get on the ballot. And I'm going to throw this to both of you. I think besides GMOs, we should ban what's called clean labels, where they hire other ingredients in food and things like sodium nitrate and MSG. So Ashley, explain to everybody what clean labels are.
Well, I think you do a better job on that.
Oh, thank you. I love it when my wife throws things back at me. Clean labeling is the art of the industry to take a product, and we're going to use MSG because it's the most popular one, and hide it in something else, because nobody will, if you put MSG, and this product contains MSG on a label, people generally will not buy it. Maybe a few will, but it's been basically banned in the general public. But we say to people every day, you know, you're eating MSG. No, I don't. And then you point out on the label something, because there are 140 different names that MSG is hidden under. And I think it's unfair to allow an industry to hide their garbage under an assumed name. So they could put roses on there and hide the MSG in a couple petals of roses and throw in your food. And I think that maybe sodium nitrate should be thrown in.
I absolutely agree. And as we covered this heavily in obesity, the It's Not Your Fault book, which I think every kid should have to read this book. I really do, Manny, because I think every single teenager and person in their early 20s who has, their parents have given this book to them, they have altered how they've been eating and are doing so much better. And once you realize what's hidden in that clean label and what it is doing not only to your brain function, to your thyroid, and to your entire body, it's absolutely, you can prevent yourself, hopefully, from getting Alzheimer's and dementia, and there's things you can reduce in your future to live a healthier future by knowing now in your 20s and in your teens, so that you can prevent this, because the clean labeling really, really, really bugs me. It's an absolute Achilles heel, and it's an Achilles heel for Monsanto. you know, because the biotech and Monsanto industry, they absolutely do not want consumers to have the right to know.
Yeah.
And my favorite quote,
well, one of my favorite bugbears, and it's such a simple thing. We go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you need to cut down on salt.
Right.
Right. Well, why do they have to label it sodium on the can? Why can't they just call it what it is? Salt.
They want you to think about it. I don't know, Simon. Who knows
well,
why?
Well, let me add to that, Simon. What are the differences between sodium and salt? Is sodium...
Oh, that's true, Manny. Mm-hmm.
Sodium just really refers to basically what we all would consider table salt. The word salt would include monosodium glutamate and a variety of other salts that are used. Even garlic. A lot of people turn ground garlic into a garlic salt. Well, a garlic salt is just as dangerous to you as regular salt is, so... You know, sometimes when people say, I don't eat salt, I go, do you eat garlic salt? Oh, yeah, I love this stuff. I go, well, that's salt. And they go, well, that isn't salt. And, you know, I just look at them like, yeah, right. And so people manage to go into a form of denial and basically say whatever it is they're eating isn't what's dangerous because they don't want to stop eating it. And that's
one of the problems. I'm trying to save these people money. You know, letters cost money on a label. You know, salt's only four letters. Sodium's six. I mean, or five. I mean, they could be saving money.
Yeah, well, the biggest problem, too, is what they don't say is that people should not be eating refined salt. They should be eating unrefined salt. But that's not what happens. People in the United States don't know the difference generally. And it's funny because we have friends in from Monaco. And they were here a very short period of time. And my friend's wife, who's European and really not lived here before, in fact, it was the first trip to the United States, he lived near us here in Tarzana, California, although he lives in Monaco now. And basically, she was sick within a short period of time.
And so was her child.
Right, and her child, too, from eating food in America, because her body is not adapted to eating all this crap that's being sold.
And she basically had the same identical flu-like symptoms that was occurring to our friend Sue McKenney that I warned her about, not eating anything but organic, if you remember that conversation a few weeks back, and how by her going organic and skipping over processed food and flipping over the cans that used to be great and let me open it, she actually went back this trip without getting sick once. She had not 1 ounce of GMO the whole time she was here, as far as she knows.
That's what we see all the time. In fact, Christian couldn't help but grab a copy of the book, which he was dying to read, because he was trying to understand. And it's funny because Christian's father, who's Sir Roger Moore, used to comment to us all the time about why are Americans getting so fat? Because he lived in Los Angeles for many, many years while he was making the Bond movies. And to make a long story short, I say to him, it's the MSG, genetically modified foods, and all the crap that keeps appearing in the food that we eat. And you go to Europe, and we say this often throughout the book, you don't see any children in Europe that are overweight like that. In fact, Ashley and I tell a story in the book how some friends of ours, well, the wife had never really been to Europe, and the first time she went, the first thing she could tell her, sitting in Starbucks, was how thin all the children were and how healthy they looked and the rosy look.
Clear eyes, great-looking skin.
And as Ashley points out, she says this, while everyone's looking around the room at Starbucks at all these overweight, grotesquely overweight, you know, people sitting there munching down, you know, some type of sugar goodie and a 4,000 calorie, you know, 800 grams of sugar, you know, coffee drink. And they wonder why they're having health problems. So,
and it gets back to the labeling. I mean, if it's not labeled properly, people are basically being lied to every time they open their mouth and put this food in that's supposed to be safe and healthy. And,
it's more fundamental than that. It gets down to education.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah.
It does.
And
people
one of our points today is to watch out for this genetically modified labeling issue. Write letters to your lawmaker if it comes up in your state. Join into this fight because you're fighting for what your children eat. And if you are successful in this fight and we're successful in making this label, then guess what? Americans can decide for themselves. And if they want to eat this junk and affect their health, there's nothing we can do to help them. But I think they deserve a choice.
I do too, Manny. And one of the things I was buying into for quite a while is that it's going to be so expensive. Yet, two things happened. One, I pick up a piece of cheese at Trader Joe's that says RBST, or the growth hormone, is there's no significant difference between this and no hormone. Well, now, Simon, you don't believe that, right? They have no trouble finding the money to put that particular lie on the label. Yet, I can't know how much RBST or whatever that hormone is that goes into this cheese. I can't know how much is in there. Then when I look at a barcode, which is going to be part of Thursday's thing, I go, wow, they know all this information already. They already know it. It's already there. It's their secret. They get to have the secret of the lie of what they have put in that package that is now being told, like, healthy choice. It's safe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line, is we feel like we're dealing with people who basically lie to you every day while they know the truth, and they, like, it reminds me of my parents in the 50s. Oh, don't worry, we know what's good for you. They didn't know what's good for us. They were so too busy supporting a war in Vietnam that damn near destroyed our country, saying, oh, we're going to save the world from communism. Well, what are they going to do now? Save the world for corporate America? Because that's sort of where we are. They're the only ones who seem to really matter in this issue, isn't it?
Well, it seems to me that there's winners and losers. Winners, big corporation, government, losers, the rest of us.
We're only losers if we buy into the program. And it gets down what you just said, Simon. It's education. The more each one of us become educated, the more each one of us share with each other the information, the safer we will be. And we're no longer the loser because we're going to spend with our dollar. Now, those barcodes that they have on all the food, they're going to know because that food's going to sit on the shelf. And the barcode's going to say, oh, people aren't buying this anymore. I guess we got to switch. And that's exactly what's going to happen because they're registering every single dollar you spend goes back to that corporation, and they know what you're buying based on the barcodes.
So we're going to cover more of this on Thursday and get into some more of this dishonesty. And we're going to get into drugs and how China and other people are rejecting meats and other things. And, again, it's about the politics of food, the balance of payments, why we're struggling in our country, why China is getting the best of us in other countries. And it's not because they're so great, it's because corporate America is so bad. So tune in Thursday for our show, which is called The Food Revolution Papers. And for those people who are waiting for the book to come out, we just recently, as of yesterday, approved the final copy of the galleys. I'm nearly blind from reading them, but the book will be out sometime in September, and I feel like I just let go of my child and sent it off to college. So anyway, join us on Thursday. How about you, Simon? You going to be there Thursday?
Oh, you bet. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Thursdays for our listeners is the program where we talk about politics.
Yeah, hard not to, isn't it? So we'll see everybody on Thursday. It was a great show, Simon, and I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. And of course, don't forget the Sunday Afternoon Murder Club, which will be on tomorrow, but I won't be because I'm being forced to go to an event in Malibu. Tough life, Simon, but I got to do it.
It is. Till Thursday,
This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe and healthy life. Manny, Ashley, thank you so much for taking part today. And I'm sure that between now and Thursday, we'll be finding new information to amaze everyone with. Till then, goodbye.